Name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Holy Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Risen indeed.
Father,
Son, and Holy Ghost. Brethren Christ, welcome to the Meaning of Catholic. I'm joined today by Meaning of Catholic contributor Kennedy Hall. Also special guest, Gene Zanetti. Gene, how you doing, brother?
Great. Thanks a lot for having me.
Gene is, I had your bio ready, but I didn't get it ready. So Gene is the author of Spiritual Strength, Building Athletes for Christ. He owns Winning Mindset, a sport performance mental training program. He has two master's degrees in exercise science and sports psychology and is a certified school psychologist. He was nationally ranked all Ivy League wrestler at the University of Pennsylvania. After a strong reversion following the 33-day consecration to Jesus through Mary in 2015, he founded Spiritual Strength, conducting retreats, presentations, online apostolate, spreading devotion to the three hearts, fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And his book, as I mentioned, Spiritual Strength, Building a Total Athlete for Christ, was reviewed and endorsed by Cardinal Burke and bears an imprimatur. Wow. And he lives with his wife and son and another son on the way in New York City.
Nice.
Follow him at his Twitter handle. So, Gene, you're in New York City. How's it? You guys are locked down. I didn't realize even that you were in New York City. How's it going for you?
Good. Thanks be to God. I mean, we are in the Corona capital right now, right? It's kind of like a ghost town, really. When you're parking, you could pull right up to a store, you know, if you're getting groceries anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get right out. And you're in and out, basically, which is unheard of in New York.
Yeah, no right. Kidding, eh?
Right. Are you allowed outside at all? Are you, what's it like?
You know, there's people who run outside and everything. I try to lay low estate, you know, because my wife, got my son, another son on the way. So I'm not looking to spread anything or catch anything. So, you know, I'm laying low, got my home gym here, and just stay close to my family, go out for groceries, basically. That's it.
Cool. Yeah. So we're talking today about lifting, physical strength. This is part of a series at Meaning of Catholic about Catholic masculinity. We have Kennedy Hall is releasing this book, Terror of Demons, Reclaiming Traditional Catholic Masculinity, in a few weeks. It'll be May 1st is the deadline that I set for myself. That's
11 days.
So it'll be out within 11 days, God willing, before then. But traditional Catholic masculinity. So we're trying to answer the question, what does physical strength have to do with Catholic masculinity? And I wanted to start, Gene, if you can share with us a little bit more about spiritual strength, because as you wrote today on Meaning of Catholic, St. Paul was a big sports fan. Am I right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Me and both my younger brothers, we were nationally ranked wrestlers in college, wrestled from third grade, literally right through college. Greg, actually, the youngest one, he was the best out of the three of us. He's studying to be a priest now. He should be ordained a deacon pretty soon. And actually is at the NAC. He had to come home from Rome, you know, during the whole Corona outbreak and everything. But he used to train with the Italian Olympic team over there. My brothers and I, we grew up wrestling, training pretty much our whole life. Our dad always exercised. So, you know, we understood how mental sports are, how physical sports are, you know, just really being the total package. So, you know, we did that our whole life, pretty much. Went to school for sports psychology, got my two master's degrees, exercise science, like I said, clinical psychology, all that. And then my brother Greg started discerning priesthood. And that's it. Right after he read the Diary of St. Faustina. And then after that, did the 33-day consecration. And then, boom, that was it. He broke up with his girlfriend of 3 years and entered the seminary. And I asked myself, man, my brother's given his life for God. What am I doing? I'm just basically a Catholic by name. So did the 33-day consecration, and then, you know, once the Blessed Mother takes over, forget it. Your life changes completely. So that's started then basically, exactly. So we took basically the same thing we were doing with athletes. My brother Jeff and I, me and the middle guy, we started a business called Winning Mindset, originally working with wrestlers. We wound up working with the U.S. Olympic team, some martial artists, and, you know, eventually expanded to all sports. And, you know, giving them the mental edge, teaching them virtue through sports. And then we said, well, now that we've got a lot closer to Christ after this consecration, why don't we just take the same approach and now apply it to the faith? Because there's no way you're maximizing your potential if you're not solidly rooted in the Catholic Church.
Right.
So that's how it all took off.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm reminded that the term asceticism actually is the Greek term for exercising or athletics, basically. It was the term used of the day when you were exercising for the Olympics or races or whatever. And in your article, Meaning of Catholic, you mentioned a lot of the metaphors that St. Paul uses. Fight the good fight, train yourself for devotion. While physical training is of limited value, devotion is valuable for every respect. He talks about, I don't fight like I'm shadow boxing. Run the race. You're running for the athletes run for a corruptible crown. We run for incorruptible. So there's all these athletic metaphors that we kind of miss too, because we don't know what those athletics were like. But let's try to answer the question. What really is physical strength have to do? Cause obviously, men and women are both called to asceticism. But what is it about men? Kennedy, let me get your take. What it is about physical strength, it's so important for Catholic men.
Well, I mean, one of the things you read, I think it's in Gospel of Mark, and they say, isn't that the son of the carpenter? And he says, yes, he does all things well. And it's one of those little verses that it's like four words. He does all things well. That applies to all things. He does all things well, which means if he's a carpenter, he's going to be a very good carpenter. If he's fasting, he's going to be very good at fasting. We know all these things about Christ. He's obviously divine, et cetera. So, of course, he's good at things. But, the body, when the body was created by God with Adam and Eve, it's ordained to be a good thing. You know, the corruption of our health is a result of sin. So it's a good thing for us to achieve a certain level of health, right? Obviously, we can't be vain and we can't chase after idols and idolize the body and all that sort of thing. But being healthy is a good thing. Being strong is a good thing. Just like your mind is a functionality, your body is a functionality, okay? You wouldn't say somebody is exercising, is fully the full potential of their mind if they never read books. It'd be like, well, we should read and we should get stronger at that. So same thing for your body. You need to get stronger. Now, as far as men go, we are called to carry the crosses of our families, and the cross is very heavy. And, you know, I just watched The Passion on Good Friday, like I think a lot of people did, especially with no liturgy that day. And I was struck by, I mean, I know it was an actor in Jim Caviezel, but if you read about how he did the movie, he did a lot of the stuff for real to really kind of feel it as he was doing it. And that was real wood. And he was carrying that for long hours, just filming. And I know he wasn't actually tortured. Was a very big cross, and he had to carry that over and over and over again for the film. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, Christ would have done that after basically being, you know, bled dry through all the scourgings and things. And he had to carry a tree up a mountain in order to be killed. That's pretty intense. That takes a lot of strength. So if we're going to emulate Christ in any fashion, then we're going to have to be able to carry the weight of our sins on the crosses that we are going to take it, you know, in order for Christ to sacrifice for us. And, that's just going to take strength. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you're 140 pounds, doesn't matter if you're 240 pounds. You need to be able to use your body that God's given you to do something strong, because it's going to help build cohesion between your strength and virtue in your spiritual life and your physical life.
Yeah, I love that. I love the spiritual metaphor because of the calling and the vocation of fathers to provide and protect. And there's obviously the spiritual strength of carrying one's cross, carrying one's sins, but I think of the physical strength as in feminism's world, which basically just denies reality. That's what it's all about. That's what communism is. It's just denial of reality. It's somehow offensive to say that men are stronger than women. All right. Men are stronger than my 4-year-old son can overpower my wife. It's just a fact. This is not an offense. It's offensive to some because they don't like reality. But the reality is,
it's true.
Men's bodies simply are stronger than women's bodies. It's just a fact of life. And we live in this world where that's denied. But women cannot pass the test to become a Marine. Or whatever, you know, these different
without altering tests. The test.
They can't do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just admit that and just move forward with a founding of reality. Even in our feminist world, who does most of the police work, firemen work, who does most of the construction work? Is that been dominated by women now?
Italians.
Yeah. So, so what, I guess the, men are stronger than women physically. We have other,
and when you see an exception, when you see an exception, the exception tends to prove the rule, right? Yeah. The outlier proves the rule.
Yeah.
People look and say, wow, that woman is so strong. Well, that wouldn't be a wow unless that was contradicting most of what most women are.
Right.
This is simply a matter of biology. Like a man who doesn't do any weightlifting at all.
Yeah.
Is going to be stronger than your average woman who doesn't do any weightlifting at all every time. So I think one important aspect of that, a very practical aspect, is self-defense. One of the most tragic things about feminism is mass shootings. And what I mean by that is a man comes in with a gun. In a normal, ordinary world, man comes in with a gun, 12 men topple him.
Right.
Immediately. Because that's what men do. They know that that's their role as men. They use their strength to defend anybody who needs the defense. And I told this story before, but at my parish, there was some sort of mentally deranged man. It was during the Holy Sacrifice. I think it was during the Creed or something. And he jumps in the church and starts yelling. And everybody thought it was some kind of gun situation. Turns out, thank God, it wasn't actually a threat. He was just deranged and yelling. Okay. So there wasn't an actual threat. But when that happened, there was like half a dozen men were immediately on the guy and disarmed him immediately. Like even if he was a threat,
right,
he was done immediately. And that's what normal men do. But because of feminism, that masculine instinct to protect has been suppressed and shamed. And so women now, they take their own self-defense classes and they think that they could stand up to any man in a physical fight, which is, I'm sorry, women, that is a foolhardy thing to try to take on any man. And so the best defense is another man at your side who's going right. to kick that guy's butt or whatever, or a gun or something like that, you know, a weapon that would actually kill the guy or take him out or, you know, something like that, but trying to take on a man. So my point is simply that we have physical strength. What do we do with that? How we channel that towards the good? How does that relate to also the spiritual life, also your mental life and your emotional life? And that's what we're going to try to get into here. Any thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Go, Gene.
So it's all related, right? And everyone, a lot of people say, like, be the total package, spirit, mind, and body. But for most people, that's just kind of like a punchline or a catchphrase. But they really are all interrelated. And obviously, everything is meant to bring us closer to God, right? Everything in this world is an icon pointing us towards heaven. So we have to understand that first, that it's never just getting strong for being strong's sake, right? Or mental health is not a goal in and of itself. It's being mentally healthy so we can serve the Lord the best, right? And especially for us as our vocation, as husbands and fathers, that becomes critically important. And I mean, you see for exercise, I mean, that's going to obviously help, you know, battle against heart disease, against all kinds of cancers, right? So that's just preserving health. Also, what about raising your energy levels so you're able to do hard work if need be, protecting your family if need be, right? The chores that maybe, you know, you come home from work and now there's more to do. Okay, well, you know, you're still there to help, right? So you need that energy, and that's going to be what exercise helps. Of course, also for mental disorders, right? Stress, obviously one of the big things that helps with stress is hard work, that being exercise, right? It's just all interconnected. The better I'm feeling, probably the more I'm going to be able to give to the Lord and to my vocation. And then just another interesting thing I was thinking about before this call was that one of the interesting therapies that's out there is called dialectical behavioral therapy. So I studied about this when I was going in graduate school, and there's a thing called borderline personality disorder, extreme instability with emotions, very, very difficult to treat, very high suicide rate comparatively to other mental disorders. And dialectical behavioral therapy actually has some success in battling against borderline personality disorder. And I remember as I got deeper in the faith, my reversion, I was reading about the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and I'm going through it. And as I'm reading it, I'm saying, this is kind of similar to dialectical behavioral therapy. I wonder if this woman is a Catholic. I Wikipedia'd her. I Googled her. I went on Wikipedia. She went to Loyola University, taught at Catholic University of America, and she was a Catholic her entire life. And she had this kind of like epiphany while she was praying in a chapel to come up with this dialectical behavioral therapy. Cool. And it recognizes the importance of prayer, exercise, rest, and nutrition. Other than this specific form of therapy, I've never heard any other form of therapy that addresses the total person, spirit, mind, and body. So yeah, just all ties great. In.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's easy for us to just sort of spiritualize everything and make it so much about praying the rosary in the sense that we're going to neglect our bodies. Right. And we can't pray, neglect our bodies, because it is going to have an effect on that. And I want to emphasize, too, in our age of Marxist feminism, men have become soft because prior to 1900, really, I mean, men were doing hard physical labor. And even in the factories and mines, you know, we were doing physical labor, but even more and more so, you know, 1950 and more men are just sitting in an office. We're not doing hard work anymore. And that's the, right. I would emphasize that is the normal thing. I mean, in my opinion, if you are not an old man, obviously old men don't need to exercise, do worship, weightlifting, or I would say a religious or a priest, not as much, maybe, you know, if, because they're not going to be called to fight, they're going to be called to be martyrdom, you know, perhaps not for them, but laymen, I mean, unless you already have a physically demanding job. Mm-hmm. I work in an office. Kennedy's a teacher. Gene, are you able to do what you do as a day job? You have
I work from home.
Okay. Okay. So everybody, we're all, especially we're all working from home now because of the China virus, but so if you don't have a physically demanding job, I say every Catholic man needs to lift weights. Mm-hmm. Do you concur?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, absolutely. You got to be strong, you feel strong, and you look strong, because looking strong is going to be a deterrent for other people to mess with you and your family.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. I want to emphasize too the effects, because when I started lifting, I really noticed the effects on my mental and emotional health, because many men who are struggling with effeminacy, because effeminacy is a vice where you're addicted to your pleasures.
Right.
And so your emotions can quickly take hold of you. And you can't be the rock like a man because your emotions are getting the best of you. But I noticed when I started lifting was that my mental toughness and resilience to deal with my emotions became a lot keener, a lot more strong, because I could just deal with those things a lot easier. You know, I did athletics when I was younger, but I never did lifting for a long time. And when I started lifting, I really had a huge impact. Kennedy, have you always lifted? I know you did football when you were growing up.
Well, yeah, I started playing, played hockey like every good Canadian kid till high school or whatever. And, but I was too thick. I was a big kid. So, got into football. I was very lucky. I went to Catholic Central High School in London, Ontario. And, it was as close to an American football program you'll find probably in Canada. Like, we used to go down to play Detroit Catholic Central, Quad A private school, state champ. We'd lose the game, but we'd play them in an exhibition every summer. So it was a very good program. We won the equivalent of Ontario, like our province state. I mean, we'd call it the Western Bowl, but it was like a state championship, and it was great. Won that a couple times. So we had a very serious program. So I started lifting when I was in grade 9. And I was very lucky. I had a mentor, Mr. Regan. He was awesome. And he was actually a pretty solid Catholic man. And he would just help me lift. Was like 3 sets of 8, you know, Smith machine and all that, like the old school stuff that we had in our school gym. And I learned from there, and then through university played football, and then did some boxing and got into playing rugby a few years, well, you know, 6-7 years ago, whatever it was. And so I've always just been training, and I have found that if things happen where I can't train, like we've got 4 children thus far, all 4 years old and under, And, you know, kids get sick. So, like, the house is sick for a month and a half, you know, with stomach flus and all the things that go through. So if it's like 2 or 3 weeks where I haven't been able really to do anything because I'm not sleeping and, you know, things just come up, I always say that I feel like a dog who hasn't been walked, you know, like I just get, and I get like, I get ticked off pretty easy, you know? So, yeah, if I'm not lifting, I'm just not the same person. I can't function.
You totally feel it.
Yeah,
you totally feel it. And one thing you want to remember also, we want to share with everyone. Yes, we want to make sure we're lifting weights, doing strength, but also cardio. Yeah. There's a lot of guys who go to the gym. They don't. They might look real big, but if you can't run from here to this wall,
no,
you're not going to be able to defend anyone.
They're not getting away from the bear.
Right. So when you look in the gym, you see all the guys lifting the weights. You see the women on the cardio machines, and every now and then you want to yell switch and just like watch them go to the other sides, both of them. But yeah.
Right on. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Any other aspects in terms of principles, in terms of physical, spiritual, emotional, mental lifting? Let's see. We talked a little bit about mental.
We were mentioning earlier that, when we were talking earlier today, that, the Catholic Church gets everything right before everybody realizes they get everything right. Hence, like you said, this woman invented this process, which is essentially the Ignatian exercises for people with mental disorder. But it's like, look at the lives of, and Tim, you've talked about St. John Cassian's rule of life or whatever, but, you look at the way that the religious, like the priests and the brothers live historically, they wouldn't have like lifting weights, but they would intentionally put in things that were hard for just the sake of being hard. Like I was reading about this one saint and like they would have to go upstairs. I can't remember which saint it was. It's a very early church, you know, like Desert Father era. And like they'd have to go up the stairs to get to the top where this chapel was. And then he would do genuflections on each stair like a dozen times or something like that. And I was like, oh, he's doing lunges.
You know,
and that, or even I was reading about the Holy Ghost Fathers. They're called the Spiritans now, but in the 1930s, they would make their seminarians, they would go outside in the cold, like in northern France, and they would have to do their reading while walking around this very big garden complex get frozen cold, but read, but keep walking. And it just, the idea was though, is that they, cause they were missionary priests and they were going to go to Africa and, you know, and like just get malaria and stuff. Like they had to be strong. So they kicked the crap out of them in the seminary. So they came out hardened like soldiers ready to go. So there's always been an aspect like that in the spiritual life and you have to have it.
Yeah. Manual labor is big in the traditional like Benedictine monasteries, work and labor, or not work and labor. Or at labora, that's what it is. Work and prayer. When they say work, they mean manual labor and that physical exertion in particular. I remember when we quoted on the book from Cassian on lust against the spirit of fornication, he talks about manual labor as an aspect of overcoming lust.
Yep.
So exerting that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great.
Keeping yourself occupied, and we know the body matters. Right. What we do with the body is going to have a direct impact on our spiritual life. That's why our posture, the kneeling, the standing, that has an impact on our prayers. My spiritual director, who's in his mid-80s, he can't kneel right now when he's saying mass. And I asked him, does that affect him? Does he feel like that hurts him spiritually? And he said, yeah, he could feel an impact on his prayer life because our body matters.
Right.
I'm also going to aggravate you guys for a second when I tell you about that form of therapy. You look it up on Wikipedia. They give credit to the Buddhists and Zen, no mention of Catholicism or the spiritual exercise of the nation. That's the society we live in.
Yeah, no, nobody, they can't handle the truth. Can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
Do we want to touch on sleep and nutrition?
Sure.
What do y'all want to say on sleep and nutrition? Go first.
You go first, Gene.
Again, just that it's all connected. You know, I read Father Timothy Gallagher talking about discernment of spirits. I read his book, and he speaks about how non-spiritual consolation can and should be a springboard into spiritual consolation, and how non-spiritual desolation can be, you know, the dive downward towards spiritual desolation, right? If you're not feeling good, certainly that we don't want to overemphasize our emotions, right? That is not what the Catholic faith is about. But if we're feeling better, we know that we feel more inclined to want to pray. If I'm missing days of exercise, you just feel like you're in one big daze, right? Yeah. One, or haze, whatever you want to call it, where it's, you just don't feel like moving. It's less energy. So it's all connected. The same thing with the food we eat, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. that just part's all connected.
And I would say, go ahead.
The one point that we made also about like the timeless wisdom of the church, when we look at how to keep our bodies physically fit, if you look at what bodybuilders are saying now about what kind of bread you should be eating, they say the Ezekiel bread. I think it's Ezekiel 4:9. So I have that every morning. Like, this is what the Lord said the bread is supposed to be made of: the millet, the spelt, the wheat, all that stuff together, right? And I say, you know, I'm glad that science is finally catching up with this knowledge we've known for some 3,000 years. Like, this is what bodybuilders are using right now.
And they use the, we were talking earlier, they use, I saw, it's been a while since, I used to go on this website. I stopped because I realized it was too scandalous. But as far as training advice goes, it was incredible. It was T-Nation. It's been a while since I was on that website. But one thing I saw a few years ago is everyone was getting into the, like the 5-2 diet or something like that, which was basically like 5 days of eating normal and then 2 days of severe calorie restriction. So you would do like under 500 calories, like a couple apples and a piece of bread or something for the day. It was kind of like you just got through the day, and then the rest of the week was normal. And then they talked about the rapid weight loss, and it's kind of like a form of intermittent fasting in a way. But I would remember reading that at the time going, wait, that just sounds basically like the disciplines of having fasting days every week and penitential seasons where you have calorie restriction at certain times. And you read about the, you know, when Lent was hard and, you know, people lost weight all the time. But I was thinking earlier when you were talking about diet, one of the biggest pitfalls I see, because we do play a lot of sports in North America. We play high school football, hockey. Guys are, you know, shooting hoops, playing at the gym and all that kind of stuff. But then when we're done the high school sports, most people don't go on to play after high school. It's probably like 5 to 10% of athletes play after high school in a competitive fashion. So we've got these really big appetites because it's like football. It's like eat 5 bananas and have a gallon of milk, you know, when you're 14 years old. And that's great. But then you go to university or college or the workplace or whatever, and you're sedentary or you're not working that hard. You got the same diet. You're not working out very much anymore because you don't have the motivation for performance, and the vanity thing goes away pretty quick. So basically you have, it's this weird phenomenon where you have men who are very athletic, but then as soon as they're done playing sports, they get very overweight.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons why we need to stress, because I coach rugby and I'll stress with my players that, you want to make this sports thing. You want to make this a lifelong pursuit. Luckily, rugby is a kind of sport that, you know, men's league rugby is pretty big. You can keep playing, you know, once you're kind of a grown up. But even then, just the training aspect, it's like, you graduate high school, don't just stop. You'll just become a waste case. You have to make the exercise part of your habits. And then that will save you from a lot of the pitfalls of gaining so much weight and getting diabetes and things like that.
Yeah.
Nailed it, Kennedy. I see this all the time. And we constantly say when we're working with athletes, you have to use sports as a vehicle to build virtue.
Yeah.
Okay. So many athletes, and this goes for any area of success, whether it's business or school, so many people are just aiming at success. Obviously, we know we're trying to glorify God with our life.
For sure.
But if we're just aiming for success, you might be successful in that field and the rest of your life is miserable, depressed, suicidal, hooked on drugs, you name it, right? Yeah. So you have to use sports as a vehicle to build virtue. If you're not doing that, and that's why if you're building virtue, you'll be successful at anything you do, right? A Catholic should be, you know, with God's grace, of course, you should be successful at everything because you've developed those habits for life. It's not just domain specific. That's what virtue is, the pervasive, the enduring individual characteristic. Absolutely. And then 2 points also with the nutrition that I thought about. I don't know if it was the Desert Fathers who I read or some spiritual classic, but they said, do not set up your prayer time right after a meal. That's one of the worst times you could pray because it just like kind of puts you in a fog. So that was like one of the key tips before going into mental prayer that should not be right after having a meal. And my spiritual director actually said that it's better to go into prayer a little bit hungry. That hunger feeling during prayer is a good thing. And that's what it's supposed to be like going into mass, right? The fast. And then you go follow the traditional way of fasting, you're even having greater hunger. Mm-hmm. And the other point that I thought about, a lot of people talk about having less meat, if not totally eliminating meat. Obviously, I love my meat, but you want to have less of it, not overdoing it, right? Right. Well, if you're following the traditional calendar, how many Fridays out of the year? 52?
Yeah.
All of Lent, rogation days, vigils, ember days. You're probably going without meat, what, almost one fourth of the year?
Yeah.
So that's going to lead to greater health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the traditional fasting rules take out meat and fats, and so you have leaner protein or less protein, and you have less because the fat has a more deadening effect on your intellect. You're just more tired, you know, that type of, like, your digestion just kicks in and you start to be more sleepy. That's why you don't prey on a full stomach. But I think in general, just like, we can't have a whole show on nutrition and sleep, which we should. But I mean, in general, this is like the point we're trying to make, is that men are soft, men are effeminate. They're addicted to pleasures. You most likely, we probably need less of the food and sleep that we're already taking. Sleep is a tough one, I think, because it's so, even when you read in Life of St. Anthony, the demons wake him up so he can't get any sleep. But then they also, the demons trick him to get too much sleep. And that's the tricky thing about sleep, because it's like, you can get too much sleep or too little sleep. And it's a difficult balance to get that and figure that out. But getting up in the early morning is such a crucial point. Of this is a point that Kennedy Hall makes in his upcoming book, is getting up early is so crucial to your spiritual life. Getting up early is what allows men. I mean, I always do my exercise in the morning. I know people do it in different, whatever your schedule works, but typically a good rule that has helped me is that you get up, you know, take how much you're sleeping right now and then subtract 15 minutes or subtract half an hour, and then try getting up then, and get up, get out of your bed, go do some push-ups, drink some coffee, stretch, whatever you need to do. Do that for a while, and then you can make the decision about whether you need more sleep at that point. If it's really too much, you know, if you're already going like 5 hours a night or whatever, you know, but make the decision about how much sleep you really need after you've already gone through the process of trying to wake up. Because when you're laying in your bed, you can never make that rationally, because you're always want more sleep, you know. But so we talked about lifting as in regards to protecting your family, working your, you know, protecting against threats. There's obviously the practical, you're just lifting things, you know, anything that needs to be lifted, obviously that's always there. Other practical things, you know, just doing work around the house, other things like that. And we talked about the effect that it has on your mental health, your emotional health, and obviously feeds straight into your spiritual life of asceticism, which is exercise in Greek. So we talked about all that. Now I want to talk about one point that was actually brought up by one of the commentators too, and Kennedy and I have talked about this. And so Gene, I want to get your take on this. And that is the home gym versus going to the gym. Kennedy, you want to speak to that at all?
Yeah. So, There are good gyms. I mean, if you can go, I there's not one in the city I live in, but or the town I live in, I guess. But if, I'm thinking of ones I used to know, like they were performance gyms. We used to call them like a lifter's gym. So pretty much the only people there were guys who were training for something serious. They weren't guys only, but in reality, it was basically only guys that worked there. They didn't have mirrors. It was just people were serious. They went in there, had the hoodie on, loaded the plates up, and kind of did what they had to do. And those places are fine. I mean, whatever. It's just a bunch of guys working out. Problem is, a lot of health clubs, I mean, immodesty is so rampant in our culture right now. And it's not just about, like, okay, Father Ripperger, which I know we're all fans of. Who isn't? I mean, if you have YouTube and you are a Catholic and you don't like Father Ripperger, like, we can't be friends. So, but he tells a story. He was in Rome. And have you been to Italy, Gene?
No.
I know my name's Kennedy Hall, but my mom's an Italian immigrant, so I used to live there as a kid. And in Italy, Well, Italy, the phrase, the corruption of the best is the worst. When Italy is functioning really Catholic, it's the best. And when they get really secular, the modesty is out the window with stuff on television, etc. Anyway, there's lots of nudity in Italy. So Ripperger was telling a story how he was taking the train in the middle of the summer in Rome. The women, not modestly dressed, all the, you know, problem. Anyway, so he's doing the whole custody of the eyes things. He's looking away, gets off of the train or the bus, looks outside. There's a big billboard and it's just completely immodestly, basically a nude image of a woman selling something. He looks down to look away. And then on the ground, there's like a magazine with a nude woman. And he actually starts to laugh though. And he goes, okay, God, I get it. Custody of the eyes is only going to take me so far. I've got to have custody of my mind. Okay, because we live in the world and things are just what they are now, but we don't put ourselves in situations to have to fight against those fallen parts of our nature. So I was finding with health clubs, it just seems like an unnecessary temptation for most men to be in, or all men, I guess. And not just with the immodesty of the opposite sex, but also with the temptation to become vain. Where like mirrors, okay, I guess there can be some, but let's be honest, the strongest power lifters in the world don't really look in mirrors. They actually kind of probably look up when they're squatting, or they look just in front of them and maybe at their coach. The mirrors really are just a bodybuilding invention that make you feel good about flexing. So I advocate that if men can't find like a lifter's gym, that they should try and build sort of a home setup. So that way they can be in a more virtuous element where things are more modest. What do you think about that, Gene?
I've lifted at home pretty much my whole life.
There you go.
My brother and I actually started a fitness company, 10-minute workouts, like 10-minute legs, 10-minute abs, 10-minute arms. We did that years ago before we started Winning Mindset. Actually, that's really coming in handy now with the whole quarantine. You can't go out, can't go right over to a gym. So those high-intensity workouts are good. Yeah, I've always worked out at home. I just found it more convenient. If you have high goals in other areas of your life, it's better to be close to your gym. Like if you could live close to a church, that'd be a great thing.
Yeah.
Right. And you're right. Like there is a near occasion of sin, and we got to be real about that, because, you know, the clothing that people wear at the gym and, you know, women, what they wear at the gym. I mean, it's clearly they're looking for attention. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not kid ourselves. Like people are looking for attention. And also, like you said, it's the mirror. You start thinking more about your body. You're putting yourself, it's not necessarily always a near occasion of sin, but it definitely could be. Mm-hmm. And if you're a guy who's already struggling with impurities, mm-hmm. that wouldn't be the place you want to put yourself.
Right.
I'd just rather be closer to my exercise equipment and not have to go somewhere, because there's just other things to do.
Right.
And especially now you're husband and father, you know, you don't want to be leaving. You want to be close anyway.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I mean,
my dad always worked out at home. My dad never had a gym membership, worked out his entire life, always from home.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many, there's a practical, there's spiritual, there's no near occasion of sin, because unfortunately women do not dress modestly, nor do men, but you know, that's just going to be all around you, in your face, at a gym, the mirrors. Plus it's more money out of your pocket, more time out of your day. You got to travel to it. I don't really see any reason why you should have a gym membership if you can, you know, do things at home. So speaking of doing things at home, I know some of the people in the chat are asking about that. We're going to talk some practical things. We want to shift now to all practical stuff. So, and I'm going to try to take all questions kind of as we go. So if you have questions, please shoot them to me. If I miss them, just ask them again. but I want to talk practical things about home gyms. And now first in my opinion, I mean, you guys have been lifting most of your life, so you've grown up doing this. But when I started lifting, I really benefited from a set program, which had the specific lifts and how to do them and all that. I used Strong Lifts. That was my program that I used, which is a 3 times a week lifting where you do, it's about a half hour to 45 minutes each time. So it's not a huge time commitment. You basically just do these 3 different lifts each time, and then you keep on increasing the weight more and more and more and more. So then it gets harder and harder and harder. And as you increase the weight, that is what really builds your muscles, builds your stamina, builds your mental toughness, everything like that. So, we're going to talk a little bit about, and Kenny and I are going to actually talk about our home gyms and have some of that practical stuff in just a second, but what programs have benefited you guys? Have you guys done programs like that?
What about you, Gene?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, back in high school, pretty much, I just went out of different bodybuilding magazines. I mean, I didn't know any better. I didn't realize that if you're an athlete, you should be lifting like an athlete, not necessarily like a bodybuilder. But when you're a kid growing up, living pretty close to the Jersey Shore, you're thinking, okay, I got to be jacked and tan, right? So you pull out, you find a bodybuilding magazine, you see Arnold Schwarzenegger's workout program, 5 sets of 10. Oh, okay. So I guess I do that.
Yeah.
Right. So I would like having like a regimen, obviously, like a criteria that you're doing that there, like the 3 sets, 10, 5 sets of 5, whatever. At least it's something concrete and it's specific, right? The number one criteria for success for both dieting and for exercise is consistency.
Right.
Right. So of course, if you're trying to maximize your potential, like anything else, you're going to need individualized coaching to work specifically for your body. But assuming you're just trying to get in shape, you're just trying to, have a certain level of fitness, certain level of strength, certain cardio, just having that structured plan, that's great. You'll be fine with that.
Oh yeah. I definitely love a structured plan. That really, I can't do anything without a structured plan. I got a plan. My wife doesn't like the plan. So we make plans here and there, but I need to have the plan in place. And that brings up another important thing. And that is the importance of moderation, because you can have immoderate zeal. And you can watch the show right now we're doing, and you could get all fired up and say, oh, I'm going to do the fire drill, whatever. But then you start too much too quickly.
Yeah.
So then you go like 1 day or 2 days, and then you're like, oh, this is too hard. And then you quit immediately. That's because you started too much too fast. So like Gene is just saying, like that consistency, you just start small. That's the important thing. And I say this also in the spiritual life, you're fasting or whatever.
Yes.
Do tiny things. Do them consistently and then slowly build, because the devil's going to come and try to make you feel guilty that you're not doing more and more greater things. But that's just a trick. He's trying to trick you. So you'll stop. So you'll bite off too much you can chew and stop. So we're going to show some of this home gym stuff. So Kennedy's going to go first. If I can see if I can do this. So
it's a fancy place.
Kennedy is going to show you his very luxurious home gym that this is how the Canadians do it. Everybody,
it's uninsulated.
It is. it's gonna have a, maple syrup.
Sugar there. Shack.
Okay, so hopefully this audio goes through.
Usually, I'm up before the sun's out. This is what it looks like, and this is where the magic happens. Punching bag. Got kettlebells. Do a bunch of stuff with those. Got the skipping rope. Got the hand wraps for the mitt. Got the chin-up bar. And who needs to buy fancy weight mats when you can lay on a cushion that you use on your lawn chairs? The box goes over there. Sometimes, no joke, I'll even grab the axe. Where's the axe?
He's a Canadian.
Oh, it's up here. Yeah, there. And I'll actually use it as a handle, and I'll put the two kettlebells on it to do like presses and curls. And then this is the thing that I use, kind of lame for dips. It doesn't really work, but I use it to get deeper push-ups. And then there's the floor, and on that floor, you can do burpees.
It's a burpee floor.
Excellent. There you have it. So that's really how the Canadians do it. They spend 10 grand on that luxurious outfit, and especially grand. The axe. Got to have the axe, which doubles as a maple syrup spigot. Okay. Anyways, Kennedy, you want to elaborate at all on your awesome setup?
Yeah, so...
In all seriousness, it is awesome.
Yeah, no, it's good. And... It's nice. I grew up working out with in varsity gyms, so I was used to having like the power racks and just everything. And it was awesome. I mean, honestly, like if you're training for a professional sport or some sort of like you're trying to make it in the military or something, you might have to do some specific training because you've got to pass tests. When I used to do football, we had to do the 225 test. Even though I'm functionally like as strong as I was 10 years ago, and when I'm 22 years old, I mean, but there's no way that I would score on that bench test with those specific reps in that form the way I did then, because I'm not training for it, right? So if you're doing specific things, you do have to train for those specific things. However, as far as just being strong goes, I got kettlebells because, for one, it's effective cost. It's cost effective. It's like $1 a pound here. So I don't know. It's dollar Canadian. So that's like 15 cents American. And so, you know, I thought, okay, I can get some plates and I can spend $350 and I can probably get like a starter set or something like that. Or I can get a couple 50 pounders in a set, whatever. I can spend $100 and I can do like 1,000 different exercises. That's why I got kettlebells. I've got the chin-up bar, because you can do obviously chin-ups, but you can do a lot of abs and stuff off of there. You can hang dip rings off of there, which I'm about to order. I've got the punching bag. I don't like running. I'm a kind of a heavy guy. I'm about 230 pounds. Running long distances doesn't really do it for me. I used to box, and I don't spar anymore, but just beating the crap out of the heavy bag is like the most fun cardio I can think of. And when it's nice out, I use the skipping rope for that. And then just that simple push-up thing I have, it's just like one of those lame gimmicky chin-up things for the door. If I use it on my doors, they'll break, because it's like the guys in the ads are 140 pounds. But you get really deep push-ups off of it. And then burpees and some floor work with a mat, and you've got like everything you could ever imagine.
That's nice. Yeah. And the good thing is you can get a lot of weights off of Craigslist and people, you know, because people started too fast too soon and they gave up. Now they want to sell all their stuff.
Exactly.
That's what happens, especially around January 15. You get all your stuff around then. So unfortunately we missed that, but there was a question in the comments wanted to ask about starting strength. If that's a good program, my experience is yes. Do you guys have any experience with starting strength as a program?
I don't.
Gene, do you know?
Haven't looked at it.
Okay. No. Well, sorry, Sean, can't be of more help to you, but, so one of the concerns though, is if you're doing lifting, so for example, strong lifts, like I said, it gets stronger and stronger, or it gets heavier and heavier. You're just adding weight. At a certain point, there is a safety issue. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because if you're lifting, because at a certain point you lift to a certain extent and then you start to fail reps.
Right.
And it's okay to fail reps. That's part of the process. You need to do that from time to time. But it's dangerous. So if you're obviously, if you're bench pressing and you're failing a rep, that's why they have people spotting you and whatnot. So the way that that works at a gym is that you have what's called a power rack. If you don't know what that is, it's basically just this big four pillared thing that has these safety bars. And the what you can do, the good news is you can build one of these yourself. And here is my home gym. This is my homemade power rack. And I will show you as soon as I share this screen. So this is the homemade power rack that you can make for, this is going to be for, it'll be for your benches with the safety bar and your overhead presses and squats. So let me see if I can get this. Okay. All right. So here is the homemade power rack for strong lifts weight. So what you do is you've got your squats like this. Place it up on the power rack. And then, so you can do your squats like this. You know, do your squats, whatnot. That's how that works. But then here is the safety bar here. Hey, Jack. So here's the safety bar. You put the safety bar right here too, as well for the squats. Jack, say hello.
Hello.
Jack. So you put the squats in here. All right. So then put the safety bar in place. Oh, now it's right when we were going under the tunnel too.
That's great. Tim, you got to teach me how to be handy like that.
Too much
it's a good
bandwidth. We'll see if it comes back. But basically, let me ask a question. Somebody's asking about older lifters. If you're older, 40 years plus, Gene, do you have any expertise to say to older lifters?
Really, as long as you're making sure you're safe, it's good to have a partner. That is one of the benefit. That would be one of the benefits of the gym. Usually, that motivation is a little bit higher, and then you will usually have a partner. But you know, get a friend to come over and work out. That's always best. You know, really for all lifters. I used to be a personal trainer. The five core lifts: bench, squat, deadlift, bent over row, yeah, shoulder press. If that's included in your workout program, you're going to be good. And ideally, you're using free weights because it makes you work your stabilizers, right? You need that foundation of mobility and stability. So everyone could be doing those things. And you might have to shorten the range of motion, like if you have some physical limitations or you don't have that full range of motion, shorten the range. But those are still your best bang for the buck, maximum testosterone release. And it's multi-joint movement. It's not like you're just isolating a bicep, right? If I'm doing a bent over row, and I'm standing up, even if I'm using a dumbbell, whatever, I'm working my core, I'm working my grip, I'm working my legs. Like, a lot of things are engaged there.
Awesome. Gene, what's your like day? What's your home workouts look like? What do you usually do?
So, well, I'm in an apartment right now. Once I get a house, first order of business, we got to get a squat rack, we got to get a right bench. But I got the dumbbells. I think they're Bowflex, that they're a dial, so it goes from 10 pounds up to 90 pounds. So I use I use the Oddman to bench on, actually, with my 90-pound weights. So I got that. I got a 60-pound kettlebell, so I could do some swings there, or I could do like single leg Romanian deadlifts. Of course, I'd rather deadlift, you know, with a full bar, barbell. That would be better. Also for squats, one of those things you could do, Tim, if you want to really get creative, they're called Zercher squats. So you lay the bar on the ground like you're going to deadlift. You get your elbows underneath the bar, and then you squat it up, so you're holding it in here, so the weight load is at the front instead of the back. If you want to really get creative, but you know, you don't have to. It hurts your elbows a little bit.
and there's another so in the show notes, I put a link to Strong Lifts. I also put a link for body weight exercises, because you need to also have something in mind, at least for body weight, because you're going to be traveling. So you're gonna from time to time not have access to your equipment. So you need to be able to know. You know, a lot of this is basic stuff we did in high school. I mean, like just push-ups, sit-ups, all this type of stuff, you know. But there's a great app that I use for body weight stuff that's really helpful for me. But I got the I wanted to show everybody how this was designed, because you can construct this. So I constructed this. It was cost about $45 in wood. I mean, that was it. And then I got about $100 of weights and equipment off of Craigslist.
Great.
So not a huge investment. So here's okay, let's see. Then
for the
nice,
then you got the safety bar on for the bench. So you got to put the bench right here. So then you can stick that in there. So then you got this ready, so you can do your benches with safety. All right, Jack. Henry, say hello.
Henry, say hello.
All right, let's see if we can do this properly. Okay, so I'm going to try to see if I can do this. So here's the basic design. So you've got a 4x4 here for the beam, and then these are 2x4s. Then they have two 2x4s here that connect to create this nub so you can put it on for the squats. And then this connects to the wall. And then you screw that into the stud. So this is the basic.
I can just pretend.
And there's Jack doing it. So this is the homemade power rack. So this is how it works. And then you've got the detachable safety rack here. So then that goes and connects right on here. And then it's detachable. Got that with a nut here and a bolt that's detachable. So that is the. Yeah, so that's
good,
it.
Good work, Tim. There you go.
Me and my dad made that. It turned out pretty well. I linked an article from Art of Manliness about building a home gym, and it just can be expensive to buy your own power rack. So, but that's worked really well using just that, those 4x4s. I lifted on that, and it lifts heavy. I mean, those 4x4s are what holds up decks. So those things are strong. So they'll do fine. Let me see if I got some questions. Oh, let's see. So I don't see any more questions right now. So, but those are some of the home gym stuff. We talked about body weight stuff. What other practical things we need to do to talk about?
Gene, what would you say for diet? Because like not there's lots of diets out there, but generally speaking, yeah. I mean, especially as an Italian, I mean, if you don't eat pasta, I think you lose your citizenship. So like what do you say for a practical regular person eating, keeping their weight down, et cetera?
So you go whole wheat pasta, right?
Okay,
so that's sort of evil, right? But also what I used to tell people when I was a personal trainer was, first of all, I don't like the word diet because it implies short term, and the first three letters spell die. So that's right. Not a very good start, right? How many people have you seen succeed diets? Not many. Usually people are on and they're off. So right off the bat, mentally, you want to make a shift from diet to nutrition plan. It's long term.
Right.
That's the first thing. And next, you want to make little changes. Like we said, starting small, right? Whether it's our prayer life. I remember when my spiritual director, I was trying to do 30 minutes of mental prayer. So yeah, I'm having a hard time with consistency. So drop it to 10 minutes.
But right.
That would be the same kind of advice you would give someone who just started exercising. Where, okay, I'm not able to do it 6 days a week. It's like, right, fine. Start 3 days a week. But
right.
make it so easy that you feel like it's too easy. That's a good thing. Otherwise, you're not overwhelmed. You're not sore. And it'd be the same thing with dieting. Start off a nutrition plan. What would be the simplest things you could change right now? So maybe instead of switching, going for milk, to almond milk, right? If you normally are a big chips person, what's the healthiest type of chips that you'll eat? If you're normally like bars, maybe you could switch from candy bars to protein bars. If you're normally, you have a sweet tooth, normally you'd have some kind of cake or cookies. What about fruit? Like make simple changes that you could sustain for the rest of your life rather than just thinking about hitting on a short-term diet.
Yeah, Gene, I think your connection's breaking up a little bit, so your audio broke up a little bit. I don't know if you've cut out a little bit, but let's just go. Kennedy, do you have any thoughts on that? I like that transition from Gene was talking about not thinking about a diet, but nutrition, a nutrition plan, because it's long-term.
Yeah. Years ago, I was – I can't remember the guy's name. He's one of those health – guys, like he's relatively famous, but he made a good point. We've lost the understanding of what it means to work up an appetite. So he was talking about how, I mean, if you think of I don't know if you guys know any farmers. I live around a bunch of farms, and traditionally the lifestyle of a farmer is you get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, whatever. You go out and do your chores, especially if you're a dairy farmer or whatever. And you might have a cup of coffee or something. And then you eat around 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. You've already kind of put in 3 or 4 hours of hard work. You've really worked up an appetite. So point being, work up an appetite, meaning if you're not hungry, don't eat. That might sound obvious, but a lot of us, we just like, well, it's 1 o'clock, so I have to eat now. It's like, you might not actually have to if you're not hungry. Furthermore, don't eat between meals. Snacking is like 50 years old. Like I actually remember listening to a story on the Canadian radio, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, like the, you know, it's like our NPR. And it was a playback from something from the 70s. And it's when granola bars were invented, and they were actually invented for breakfast. They were called cereal bars. Anyway, the point is snacking is not very old. Maybe you have some fruit or something like that. But this idea that we have to have all these snack foods. So if you just work up an appetite, like don't eat right when you wake up, you're not hungry, have a cup of coffee, walk to work, do what you got to do. If you want to eat around 10 o'clock, eat. And then don't eat between lunch and dinner. Don't eat after you eat supper. You'll probably cut out a third of the calories you would eat on a normal day. And after you get used to the blood sugar levels, which will be hard for a couple weeks, you'll realize that you can eat a third less, and you can do that and still eat like a normal person for those meals that you're eating. And you'll probably lose a good amount of weight and keep it off.
Right on. Gene, can you say something? Is your audio back?
I tried to take out the AirPods. I thought that might be helpful.
Oh yeah. That's
you sound good. Better.
Cool. I wanted to, there's a question about vanity. Matt Baker asks, how do you master vanity at the gym? We kind of talked a little bit about that. I guess if you have to go to a gym, but I mean, get away from the get away from the mirrors. Don't look in the mirrors. Place yourself in the presence of God, whom you're doing this for. There was, however, one question in terms of, I mean, when does it become vanity? At what point does lifting become vanity? Because on the one hand, you know, there is nothing wrong with, you know, there's, besides all these other benefits, you know, just being attractive to your spouse, just like the woman wants to be attracted to her husband, you know, that's fine. That's perfectly normal, you know, just to be attractive. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. But there is a certain vanity at some point where that comes in. So where is that line? Jane, do you want to speak to that?
Well, first, the point that you made before was great, that you got to go into the gym. If you're going to go to a gym, you got to go in with a plan. So right off the bat, you got to be thinking, okay, I know I'm in a situation. So, because we know, especially when it comes to purity, you want to flee anything that's impure, right? That's the goal, is not to fight against that. But if you must be in that situation, you got to go in with a plan. You have to, like, music you're listening to, you got to really regulate the music you're listening to then, because if you're already having something pull you in one direction, you don't want to be listening to that syncopated bump, 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 just arousing the emotions. You don't need that. So now you might want to listen to more, whatever, Gregorian, something else related to the faith, right? Next, think of other things to look at when you're there. In terms of, maybe like as a guy, you would think about, okay, who are some guys that are looking like jacked or in good shape? It's like, hey, that guy's got a good body. So, you know, you're not looking at women, right? Or other things you could be paying attention to. You got to go in with a plan.
Yeah.
You got to have a plan.
Kennedy, you have any?
Yeah.
Go ahead. It's kind of like, if you show me what you spend your money on, and I'll show you what's most important in your life. It's kind of an expression like that. In the same way, what are you doing for your gym habit? Okay. So the minute you put on a tank top, don't do that. I mean, if you're in your house, whatever, I mean, you wear a t-shirt around the house, like, you know, that's kind of how it goes around your kids and your wife. That's fine. But like, if you're going to the gym and you're going to wear a tank top, it's like, you've already lost. Okay. If you're exercising, what's your primary goal? Well, if your primary goal is, I want to have a six pack. Well, you know, some people, yeah, naturally we all have different metabolisms and things, but I know for myself, if I'm going to do that, I've had a six pack like twice in my life. Okay. And it was like when I was trying to cut weight for whatever. And the point is, I had to diet like crazy. I didn't have children. I wasn't married. It was like, I was living like the life of a, you know, a professional athlete in my mind, right? That was a very different time in my life. If I was to do that now, I would be putting my family, putting burdens on my family. It's like, well, we can't eat this tonight, kids. And, you know, dad has to go do 2 hours of this. Like, that would just be silly. So if your goal is a vain goal, you're going to go vain along the way. So you're basically, what are you doing it for? And then think about the setting, especially what you're going to be wearing going into it.
That's, yeah, important. Sure. Good, Gino,
I do there real quick is just, yeah, I have different Jesus shirts, right? So like, I would wear those to the gym, because now it's a reminder for yourself and for other people. So like I said, you have to plan that, and you have to strategically do things to keep yourself out of the near occasion of sin, even if it might seem a little bit extreme.
Cool. We could make a new hashtag. We'll call it gym vangelizing. There you go. We just made it up.
There we go. Perfect. Gene, I want to give you Adrian's question. Gene, what's your advice for getting past a plateau, either in weightlifting or in diet?
You got to change it up. So to adapt to lifting, to adapt to training is never to adapt, right? So you don't want to, once you think you have all the answers, you need to start changing the questions, right? So whatever it is, you probably need to shock your system in a certain way, because it all comes down to progressive overload. Whether you're trying to build up cardio, whether you're trying to build up flexibility, whether you're trying to build up strength, you need to do things that challenge yourself and push yourself a little bit outside of your comfort zone. And you think about it, like mortifications. That's a big part of mortifying yourself, doing things on a regular basis to make yourself uncomfortable for the Lord. So that's it. You got to put, so there's three things when it comes to training: intensity, frequency, and duration. One of those needs to change, right? You tweak one of the variables, you're going to start seeing some different results.
Cool. That's great. I know that sometime, and if you're, I know that I've heard that if you're really high up, you know, you're already benching, you know, pressing, you know, you're up 200, 300 or whatever. That's when you really need a coach. I think, I mean, you really need somebody to look at you, look at your form, look at these things, because that's when it's really, I mean, I've never gotten up to these higher echelons of lifting. So I've never really felt the need to get more serious coaching, but I mean, I think when you're getting into the higher range there, that's definitely get somebody like Gene on your side here. So we'll have Gene
and vary the bench. Maybe you're doing a flat bench. If I don't know if you can make an incline bench at home or a decline, if you wanted to go crazy with that, but switching dumbbells to barbells, going, there's floor presses laying on the floor. There's a board presses where you put boards on your chest, you bring it down. So now you're hitting the muscle at different, the pressure is at different points. So, you know, just different ways of changing it. If you're going to do a deadlift, maybe it's a regular pull. Maybe it's a sumo pull with your legs spread wide. Maybe it's behind your back. Maybe it's, you know, off a platform. So you just change the movement a little bit so you don't plateau.
Yeah. So Idstrata 5 asks, how do you structure measurable goals without making exercise an idol? And there's also, I want to also emphasize too, one, and this goes to your other question, Idstrata too. There are four temperaments of men, choleric. And this is where we get into using anger, because we use our anger when we lift or when we do strenuous things. That's the use of anger. That's one of the uses of anger, which is towards perseverance. But there's also four temperaments of men. There's choleric, phlegmatic, sanguine. What's the fourth one? I'm blanking.
Phlegmatic.
Thank you. Phlegmatic. Yeah. And there's also different weights of men. Obviously, you know, boxing is lightweight, middleweight, heavyweight, you know, and so not everybody is blessed with being 200 pounds. Some of us are lighter, some of us are heavier. And I think it's important to realize your limits as to how much weight you can put on and just understand that. How do you make structural measurable goals without making exercise an idol? What I understand you to mean by an idol is what Kennedy was talking about, where you start to neglect your duties of your state in life. I mean, that's kind of how you measure everything. Your duties of your state in life are your job. That's your job. So everything has to be towards your job, doing your job. So if you're doing anything that is not making your job better or fulfilling your duties, you need to change that or take it out or whatever. You know, I work three jobs right now, so I lift very little compared to what I did before. So I don't have as much time to lift right now, but that's because the duties of my state in life dictate that I should make more money so my wife can stay home. So that's my job right now. And so I've decreased the amount of exercising that I'm doing or the lifting that I'm doing currently. And so, I mean, I would say one, the beware of immoderate zeal. You need to make small goals that you can do. And those goals need to be in line with your state in life. You need to be able to be fulfilling your duties of your state in life, not neglecting your family, doing your job. So, I mean, that's how I would structure that. Let's see what else we have here.
And your purpose is more important than your goal. We tell our athletes that all the time. You need to be solid with your purpose. So you're lifting weights, you're exercising. What's the purpose of that? So that's a big deal. Also your prayer life, right? That's mm-hmm. going to be big. If you do a little bit of prayer in the morning, a little bit of prayer in the evening, that's going to keep you rooted solid in what you're trying to do and who you're really trying to glorify, that it's the Lord, not yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sean asks about supplements and pre-workout drinks, waste of money. I have never used supplements, but I always drink whey protein a lot. What is that? Carotene or creatine? I guess that is a supplement. But I mean, the only thing I've ever used is the creatine. What about you guys? What do you guys do?
I don't, I haven't taken a supplement in a long time. I will say though, a pre-workout, I know they're not probably the healthiest thing in the world because it's kind of just like a caffeine shot. Like, but there was a time there when, like we've had children every year for the last like 4 years, which is a wonderful blessing, but it means that sleep isn't always, something that happens very often. And, you know, when it was a matter of, okay, I'm so tired and I would have a pre-workout, I would get a pretty good workout in. I'm glad I did. But it also it comes with a pretty big crash if you if you drink too much of it. It really is just like highly you digest the caffeine really fast and you get pretty pumped up. It also has niacin in it, and it has arginine, which gets you that sort of your blood pumping feeling. You feel warm. It does work, but it's you can't take it too often. So I might use it every once in a while when I'm just really tired.
It'll definitely give you a good kick and help you maximize the workout, but you don't want to make it into a crutch.
Yeah,
that's what happens a lot of times. I need the pre-workout. No, you don't need the pre-workout. And sometimes just out of principle, you shouldn't take the pre-workout just so you know that, hey, I could feel crummy, I could feel tired, and I could still get a great workout. And so do not become dependent on it. Yeah, that's a big
thing.
That's
great. Okay, and somebody, Darius asks about TRX. Now, I've never heard of TRX, but I looked it up while we were talking. It's some kind of extra workout. You guys know TRX? I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
Kennedy, Gene, you guys have any comments about TRX?
Do you know what it is, Gene?
Yeah, haven't used it much. I actually just ordered one while we were in this whole quarantine mode. But I know if you're doing – so there's a lot of things you could do. You could do pulls with it. You could do push-ups. I know those are good push-ups. Do you're suspended. You have to stabilize yourself. It's almost like doing push-ups on rings. You do those, you'll be iron-plated.
Yeah, it's just basically a really convenient and well ergonomically designed way to get the gymnastics type workouts, but in a way that's scalable. So it's good. I mean, especially if you're going to work out at home. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And where does somebody start if they cannot do a push-up? Where do we start? You know, if somebody just doesn't have the small man or whatever, just doing some basic stuff to start off. Gene, you got something to say for that?
Yeah, they could absolutely do a push-up because there's many ways to do the push-up, right? So if you were dealing with someone who was 80 years old, you'd put them up on the wall.
Right.
You'd lean them up on the wall and they'd go and they'd shorten the range of motion if they couldn't do it. And then you start moving your feet back a little bit. So you give it a little bit more, you put a little bit more weight on. Then you could do the push-ups on the ground on your knees and you could shorten the range of motion. And then you could elongate the full range of motion. And then you could do a regular push-up. And then you could do, as you get stronger, you put your feet up in the air. So there's a progression you could do. Start on the wall.
Yeah.
Cool. Sweet. So yeah, any other questions? Gene is a great resource. He does have 2 master's degrees and runs the program and all sorts of things. So as you can see, his Twitter is spiritualstren1. So take a look. You can probably send him. Can people send you questions on Twitter, Gene? Is that? Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sweet. And I want to talk about your book, which I've got here. So Spiritual Strength, Building Athletes for Christ is Gene's book. This is it right here. Gene, tell us about your book.
Yeah, really what I wanted to do was find the parallels in sports of the faith. And by the time I finished the book, I realized I had it the reverse. It's that God made everything, right? So everything parallels the spiritual life, right? He is the logos. He is order itself. He is the truth, right? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So it's really that the body and sports mirror the faith much more than it is the faith mirroring sports, right? So careful which way you're attributing the causative arrow, right? It all comes from God. It all starts and finishes with God. But really just because our society is so big with health, fitness, and sports, almost to the point of idolatry, basically to the point of idolatry, I said, why don't we relate to people with, and also no one likes to say anything about being, oh, we're not religious, but we're spiritual, whatever that means. So I said, you know what? We're not going to fight that stereotype. We're going to roll with it. We're going to call it Spiritual Strength, Building Athletes for Christ. And in the book, we have a lot of great examples of the Olympians we worked with, state champs, national champs. Kennedy, you mentioned Detroit Catholic. That's one of our teams.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So we just using these sports examples and then to illustrate the faith, to understand the faith. Sports is a vehicle to understand the faith. And I bring up Father Ripperger talking about the virtues and the integral parts and the different levels of, you know, the different parts of fortitude, temperance, justice, prudence, and so on. And we just relate it to sports. Like you're building, like you look at your statistics on a baseball card or a basketball or football card, right? Well, that's in the spiritual life. That would be the virtues and vices.
Right.
Right. Your training, that would be like prayer. And then what about when you're the actual competition, the actual game? Well, that would be fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we talk about practical tools for fighting against the seven deadly sins from different litanies that you could pray, like a litany of humility, a litany of chastity, or purity, right? Right to fighting against the demonic and the old right blessings.
Wonderful.
So, sweet. Yeah. So check, everybody check out Gene's book. Gene also has, so he's got a website. There's a link in the show notes that goes to all of Gene's stuff, all the stuff that he does. He's got his website, book, channel, everything. So you can follow him on Twitter. Any last comments from Kennedy or Gene? You guys want to, any final thoughts on this whole thing?
Let's get after it. Get up early or stay up late, whatever you got to do. Use your lunch break. I know it's a weird time right now with all the weird lockdown stuff, but just work out. And I will say this because we mentioned the pitfalls of guys who fall off the wagon after they stop playing sports. You're going to have to give, like I realized it was big for myself too. You're going to have to give up the idea that you're always going to have the same, you know, one rep max or whatever for your whole life. It doesn't mean you're not going to be extremely strong. It doesn't mean, like when I play rugby in the summers, hopefully we can play this year. I don't notice much of a difference in my performance as when I was in the, because if you're working hard, you're throwing kettlebells around, you're doing push-ups, just work your tail off. You'll still be strong. So don't worry if you have to go from, your varsity gym to your basement with push-ups and sit-ups, just do a lot of them. I mean, are you at the point where you can do like 500 push-ups in 15 minutes? It's like, no. Okay. We'll get to that point and then complain that you need a bigger bench press. You know, I mean, like there's a lot of progression that you can do with very few things. So just get after it.
Gene.
St. Jose Maria always said esto vir, which means man up.
Yeah, there you go.
So, whether it's spirit, mind, body, really all three of them, man up, right? Mm-hmm. We got to get over being effeminate, get over being soft, right? Sensual, appetitive, intellectual, volitional, all those, they got to go. And they're hurting us spiritually. They're hurting us mentally and they're hurting us physically. So constant improvement and making sure we're in the right order. So spirit's the base of the pyramid, then mind, and then body. We tend in our society to invert the order. Yep. The devil's happy. That's exactly what he wants to do. And mathematically, a pyramid is only as high as its base is wide. So make sure you're built solidly on a rock with the Catholic faith and spiritual strength.
Wicked. That's what's up. Perfect. Yeah. This is what our wives and our children are yearning for, is Catholic men to arise who are strong, both physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and most importantly. So this is what the world needs, man. This is what the world needs, because it's dying because of all these effeminate, soft men who have let the culture roll over them and the Marxists and feminists take over, because our fathers were effeminate. So let's break the chain. Let's stand up, be men of God for our wives and our children, for the society, and for the church. So,
St. Joseph,
yes, indeed. St. Joseph, terror of demons. So we're going to pray our Father. We'll pray for all the men who watch this. Pray for all their women, their children, that we can all arise and be men, be strong men, to do the hard work that's necessary for our own souls, our own bodies, and for our families. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen.
And-